All right, 847 ESPN 97.5, John and Lance. I'm being joined right now. If you haven't seen it, it is must-see television because it is awesome. Season 3 of Last Chance U. And with us is the quarterback coach from last season, Frank Diaz, who his story is awesome, and it was eye-opening for what coaches go through and have to go through to stay in this business or to be employed. And he's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Frank, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Lance, how's it going? I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, this Lance here, that's John. So, John.
John, okay.
So, I come from a family of dad coach, brother coach. I do stuff with NFL stuff and have been doing radio for 21 years with John. John actually played football, was a quarterback at Knox College in... small school there. So, we've got a... And my brother played JUCO football in Mississippi, and I remember him telling me, "Ooh, Mississippi JUCO." This is back in the 90s. Like, it's a little rough in the dorm sometimes. He said it can be a little rough. And one of the things Last Chance U has brought to us is that idea that, you know, it is called Last Chance U. The idea with junior colleges for some of these guys for a reason. It is not going to be what many people expect.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, junior college football is absolutely just 100% knuckleheads. You know, it's nonstop babysitting the guys. But those guys all have good intentions. My background is, I was with Chip Kelly at Oregon. So I was kind of spoiled starting my coaching career there, being part of the national championship team, and then going down to the JUCO ranks. But it builds character. And, it's rough. You know, junior college football is rough, and independence, it was, I would say it's a little rougher than rough.
So Frank Diaz is with us here on ESPN 97.5, and when you took us to where you were living and you had your suitcases packed just in case Coach Brown fired you at any time and all this, and you explained that you were with Chip Kelly and you were with Scott Frost, and then you say, well, and I'm not getting paid here. How did that happen? How is it that you ended up, you said you go down to the JUCO after you were there. How did that end up for you being where you did end up?
Yeah, you know, I was grateful for being around Coach Scott Frost and Chip Kelly and the opportunity that they gave me. They're basically the founding fathers of teaching me the ins and outs of football. But then as soon as I graduated from Oregon at the age of 22, I decided to move to Los Angeles and become the quarterback coach at West LA College. I was there for about 5 seasons. I absolutely just dominated junior college football from the California perspective. I had the number one quarterback in the nation in 2015. He ended up signing with Jeff Tedford at Fresno State. And then, being there 5 years, I think that, I had done everything I possibly could for that California JUCO. So I decided to take a risk and head to Independence, Kansas with Jason Brown. He told me that he had Teron Jones, Malik Henry was there. Just a bunch of, I think we had like 27 Division I bounce backs come into Independence, and I was flattered by it, and I wanted to get back to, coaching Division I level. Now, I know that usually these bounce backs come with a little bit of baggage, so I also wanted to test to see how good I could build relationships with these guys and kind of help them and guide them and put them on the right path. So that was more of the eye-opener for me. And then, obviously, there was rumors that the Netflix deal was going to come about. And I figured, this could be a good situation for me. It could be a good platform, not just for me, but for all the other coaches that are in this nation, that are working for little to no money. And it just shows how passionate I am about football and how much I freaking love the damn sport, man. Also, I come from a broken home. My dad was, in and out of jail. So coaches, football coaches were my father figures. Football did raise me. I am who I am because of football. And this was my way of paying it forward. So that's how I ended up in Independence, Kansas. And it was a hell of a time. I got so many damn stories. I wish I could be with you guys all day and we could talk about it. But, it's been a phenomenal ride, man.
Frank Diaz joins us right now. He was the quarterback coach on Last Chance U Season 3. Did you feel like the documentary – were you okay with how you were, quote-unquote, portrayed? I didn't feel like the editing made anything look suspicious. I got a pretty good feeling of who you were, I thought.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate you for saying that. It's not how I was portrayed. Yeah, I think they really did. I think, Greg, the director, did an amazing job. You know, there was so much bullshit. I mean, sorry, there was just so much crap.
He stopped. You know, I think we stopped right
he
there.
Stopped.
Yeah.
He stopped. He stopped. Bullshit. Our producer then, right was. There. Our producer was a little worried. You, I think you're hanging with Coach Brown. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. Your vocabulary is a little limited right now.
No, but go ahead. Go ahead.
But no, you know, they did a great job in kind of showing on. Basically, in my opinion, they showed how much I had on my plate. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you know, there was a lot on my plate, but that's okay because I'm a hungry man and I love to eat. So, it wasn't so much that I was portrayed wrong or anything like that. They just kind of portrayed me as, you know, I had a lot on my plate. I just wish they would have shown a little bit more football and watched me coach Monday through Friday because that's kind of what I did is I ran the offense all week and then, you know, Brown just kind of came up on Saturdays and called the plays, obviously. So that was a little frustrating.
Well, we never saw him watching tape, I will say that. So we didn't see a lot of that. It was, and we'll get into Jason Brown here in a little bit and your relationship there because that's a separate thing that a lot of people want to talk about, I know. But, you know, I got to tell you, it was very frustrating watching you try to get into the head and get – it felt like you were just very ineffective with Malik Henry, your quarterback, and it was frustrating as a viewer to see this kid not take advantage. And then, you know, I at one point I got to feeling like I just don't think he loves football. I think it's his dad that's pushing this. I'm frankly quite certain he doesn't love football. I mean, you can tell on the doc.
Did you feel that too, Frank?
Yeah, you know, he's a. You know, he had just came back from Florida State. He was pretty damn depressed. Yep. You know, in all honesty, he shouldn't have even been at Independence. I think he should have taken some time off. But what the show doesn't really show is the 80% of the good practices and the good communication that me and Malik had. You know, they kind of focus more on the negative side of things. And obviously, it's TV, right? And that's what they want to show. But me and Malik had a great connection, man. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there's no way that me and Malik would not get along and we spent freaking 24/7 with each other, you know? I think it was week two, it was right after the Iowa Western game. You know, I had a serious conversation with him and, you know, he was almost in tears and I had to get the actual truth out of him and he did. He told me exactly everything that happened and I apologize. I can't share everything with you guys.
Right.
But yeah, you know what? That's when I really got to Malik's heart. And he began to trust me. Those sequences that you see on the show, it's all like from the beginning. You know, it's all mixed up. And, you know, they took a lot of the good parts that, you know, all the good things that Malik was doing, they kind of didn't really show it. But at the end of the day, you know, when I got there, the coaches that were there in the spring were telling me that Malik wasn't going to classes at all. He was just doing his own thing. Like, he just didn't care. And it was night and day from when I got there because even he might have had, you know, I had to babysit him, but he was actually going to classes. And, you know, like I said, you know, he was enjoying football. He was starting to come out a little bit. But, yeah, you know, there was those times where he would just take a couple steps back, but then we got to move on forward. He's just a work in progress. You know, he's a work in progress. He's a, you know, Malik, I look at Malik as a little brother, man. And, you know, I try to take him under my wing and I wish, you know, we went through so much crap there at Independence that you know, I think if I had one more season with him, I think we would have been taking the lid off something and making this kid, you know, a phenomenal quarterback and getting back into Division I with a better character. Yeah, that's, you know, he's a great kid, man, and I like Malik.
Frank Diaz, quarterback coach, Last Chance U season 3 with us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, Jason Brown. That is, I don't know, his coaching style. I've seen some coaches that are a bit abrasive, aggressive. I've never seen anything quite like Coach Brown, if you want to know the truth. He is something. What was that like to work with?
Yeah, my world was upside down. I couldn't, you know, everyone has their, a different coaching style. And, you know, I'm not going to knock on anybody. But if that's the way he thinks things work, then he should go for it. You know, like I said, and you guys kind of know a little bit about my background, being with Scott Frost, who's now the head coach of Nebraska, and Chip Kelly, and, you know, Marge Miller, who I was with at West Los Angeles College. And I've been around Clay Helton at USC. You know, a head coach doesn't really behave that way. You know what I mean? I guess the closest that we probably see as far as those big those rants that we saw in Last Chance U is probably with Nick Saban. The only difference is Nick Saban's assistants are getting paid $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for him, for JB to be as aggressive with his coaching staff, and at the end of the day, you know, all the hard work that we do for him, because the head coach isn't really anything without his assistants. You know, the assistants are a bit of a backbone to what a head coach does. The unfortunate part is that the head coach ends up with the wins and loss column, you know, and it was tough. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'll say it to you guys right now. My character was challenged. My manhood was challenged. I just know that I had to keep fighting through it and persevere. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, change my character just because of the way they talk or whatever. You know, obviously, oh my gosh, I tell you right now, Lance, I wanted to fight the dude every week. You know, it was just nonstop. I was like, man, I cannot take this dude no more. And, you know, as you saw in Last Chance, too, you know, Coach Latt lost it on him.
Your wide receiver coach almost did fight him.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Dodge City game, right?
Yes. After that game, guys, I think I wanted to just say, you know what, I'm over it. That we're going to look like a complete crap show on worldwide television.
And you did.
I was just like, man, am I jeopardizing my own coaching career? Because it just looks like we don't know what's going on. And I'm lucky. I'm telling you right now, I'm lucky that I've been, you know, my Twitter's been blowing up. And I'm lucky that people have noticed that on that episode that I was in the booth for the Dodge City game that first half. And these guys were almost killed. You know, Malik and JB almost killed each other until I came down the second half and managed the damn game. Because these dudes just did not get along.
No, but I tell you what, though. I mean, it was something weird happened because I was pretty pissed after the third episode and really into the fourth. That's just not how you treat coaching staff. When I found out you worked there for free, I'm like, what? Works here for free, lives in this closet, and is putting up with this? I mean, that made no sense. But, you know, something weird happened at a dock spoiler alert for those who are watching – it's almost like I feel like there was a call from a president that came down after that game, and we didn't get to see what happened on the phone call because Jason Brown says, you calling to give me an extension or to fire me? And then after that, it seems like his personality, he wasn't caught on camera MFing as many people as often or as aggressively as he did. He didn't treat you guys – well, now once again, this is caught on camera and how it's edited. It seemed like he took it down a notch, almost like he was – he realized, oh boy, this is not going to look good.
Yeah, actually, after that Dodge City game, he kind of vanished for a little bit. You know, as a coaching staff, we were able to brief a little bit. So
he vanished? What do you mean by that?
So he just kind of stayed away from the staff and the team. You know, I think I really think that the president and the athletic director, I mean, because that Dodge City game was just a whole nother level. I mean, and to be honest with you, Netflix really just caught a scratch on the surface.
Oh, really?
That whole entire game.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Brown was so rattled up that game. To be honest with you guys, it was a whole different ball game. He just was on fire that night, and I really thought, you know, to be honest, we all thought that he was going to be gone. We were like, there's no way, you know, because they didn't show at the end of the game how much of a crapshoot it was, and like he got kicked out of the game, as you guys saw, you know, at the end of the game. It was horrendous. It was a nightmare. And then we had another 8-hour drive back to Independence, but at least we won.
Wow. I thought for sure, yeah, that game was going to just tear the team apart. And then you guys went on and played. You guys were more talented, obviously, with all the Division I guys that you guys had.
That number one, you're right. Carlos Thompson, we know a little bit about him. That Calvin Jackson kid looks like a player.
Calvin Jackson, I thought he was your best offensive player all year.
Oh, he's amazing, man. But he's with Washington State now.
Okay.
And he's been, I think, you know who's taking him under his wing is Antonio Brown. He was training with Antonio Brown all summer long.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So Calvin, he's got great genes. I think his dad was in the NFL, and I think his mom might have been a track runner at LSU. I'm not 100% sure.
That kid's a player. You can tell that.
Oh, yeah. The dude can play ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Calvin. Yeah, I love Calvin.
So now, So now, how did you leave? And you're at a high school now, right?
So I parted ways with Brown at the end of the season. I just I couldn't stay there for obvious reasons. You know, there's no way. Being 28 years old, I just knew that wasn't the right way. You know, the guys who have taught me the game have shown me the formula for success, and you know that's not the way that Brown runs things. Isn't quite the way that I want something that I want to be associated with. And I parted ways, and as soon as I got to LA, the defensive backs coach from the University of Nevada took the head coaching job at Santa Monica High School in California. He reached out to me. He heard I was there, and he asked me if I wanted to be his assistant coach and offensive coordinator. I said yes. And believe it or not, guys, I've been on the road for 2 days now, and I just passed through Houston 6 hours ago.
No way.
So I'm on the road. I left. I'm not at Santa Monica High School anymore. I'm on the road to a new school.
Where are you going?
So I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't say it yet, but I think, you know, God works.
East Mississippi, way, East Mississippi, scuba.
Yeah, I gotta go be Buddy Stevens' counselor.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't feel as bad about Buddy Stevens anymore.
No, I thought that was the worst until I saw Jason Brown. Okay? No, don't do that to yourself. Get away from the Buddy Stevens and the Jason Browns, Frank. Don't do it.
Joel says, I'm praying to dear baby Jesus that y'all get him to say big dog at least one time.
One time. Big dog.
What up, big dog? You guys are Houston. All my Houston big dogs, stand up,
H-Town. Hey, Frank, we appreciate you being here, man. Best of luck. Check in. We'd love to have you back on again to see how your season is going. That was we felt for you, pal. We felt for you all season last year. And
I appreciate you guys, Lance. John, I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing, man. Stay in touch, and we'll see where this road takes me.
All right, Ben. All right, there's Frank Diaz, big dog, right here on ESPN 97.5.